This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, good day, wherever you are listening to the Father's Love Show. Yeah, you heard it right. This is Pastor Bongani. And of course, as usual, I am not alone. I'm with the beautiful, the most powerful, the most anointed. Somebody say, yeah, you're supposed
Hallelujah.
To speak like that because
Praise
she's
the
your
Lord.
Wife. Anyway, I'm getting my brownie points. Why not? Welcome to the Father's Love Show on 729 AM K Pulpit, your daily companion with Bongani. And of course, how are you, ma'am?
I'm blessed. I'm always blessed, hey?
Yeah.
I'm walking in the blessing of the Lord.
Come on.
That's
now.
Me right there.
I can see you looking so bright and shiny, looking so happy. Today, we are so highly honored. I'm so excited today.
It?
That is why I just started, you know.
It's always exciting to come, you know, to the show. It's always exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all about the Father's love. How
come
can
on.
You not be excited
come
when
on.
You just want to hear or receive the word that just assures you of the Father's love?
Come on. Come on. Yes, talking about the Father's love, as we always say that, you know, there's a solution. To all
That's
that you are
right.
going through and is found in the Word of God. And this
God.
Is the right place where we have tuned in because we always dive into the Word. And today we are so highly, highly honored to have all the way
Amen.
From Mount Sinai Baptist Church in L.A., Los Angeles, United States of America, Reverend George E. Hurt. After this beautiful, beautiful and powerful song, we're going to hear from him what the Lord has laid in his heart. We're going to be talking about people over projects.
Come on.
Taken from Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 13. Let me tell you, just go quickly, grab your cup of coffee, grab your water, whatever it is that you fancy.
And the cappuccino.
And course. The
Don't
cappuccino.
Leave us out. Don't
come
leave us
on
out.
Now. And also make sure that you have your Bible with you and your notebook because we're going to go into the Word
I'm
of God
telling you.
After this beautiful song. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's right. You heard it right. We are on the Father's Love Show with myself, Lindy, and of course, with the partner always, Bongani. And as he said earlier on, that we are joined by a special guest with us this beautiful afternoon, Pastor George. I'm so looking forward to hearing what he has in store for us. And I know that he has a timely, a relevant word for you and me for this season that we are in. And I trust that, as Bongani said earlier on, that you are ready with your pen, with your cappuccino right there. Man, with the red cappuccino, you know, with me, girl, you know, get each other with your tea, lemon water, whatever that you fancy to drink, you know, this beautiful afternoon. And just get ready to hear from the Lord. And I know, and I'm telling you, that your life will never be the same again as you receive the word of God that is life. So here we are on the Father's Love Show. So, Pastor George, how are you this beautiful afternoon?
I don't know if I could be doing any greater. It'll be illegal. I'm here with the power couple of South Africa. You know,
Amen.
What more can I say? I was blessed by being in your service on yesterday and Bible study and being able to teach and preach God's
Amen.
Word to precious, precious people of this wonderful nation. And certainly we are honored to be here on studio with you all in this intimate space and be able to discuss, open up the Word of God and to pour in and then afterwards have those conversations to
Amen.
See exactly how it's relevant to how you guys are doing ministry in your context and sort of sharing how we are doing ministry in our context and try to emphasize the nuances of what we present for the Word of God on today.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Yeah.
So without any waste of time, Pastor George, just take it away.
Well, Nehemiah chapter 5, Nehemiah chapter 5, 1 through 13, as Pastor mentioned, we're looking at it from a subject standpoint of people over projects. Some of you may be familiar with the book of Nehemiah. If you're not, just open your Bibles to chapter 5, and we're going to walk our way through that section and try to bring in previous context and upcoming context to see the weight of what is taking place here in this fifth chapter. In 1963, April the 16th, to be precise, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote what is famously known as the letter from the Birmingham jail. He, in this letter, asserts that people have a more responsibility to break unjust laws. Of the many salient words that he spoke, that he wrote on that day, these words captivate my mind as a way of introduction into this text. It says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Come on.
We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Believe it or not, Nehemiah 5, 1 through 13 is King's letter from the Birmingham jail on steroids. For he is not just a prophetic voice, Nehemiah, calling for a political system to execute justice. He is the governor of God's people that is facilitating justice after empathetically hearing, empathetically hearing the cry of hurting people. Nehemiah understood that political, yes, even spiritual success, quote unquote, has raised the ministry and programs and projects without social justice violates God's law and violates God's grace. I know, Pastor, you can relate to that as you get into the mud of the work and want to see success. We have to remember that there are people that are holding the door, people that are singing the notes, people who have family, as children, have issues. And so that's what we see here in Nehemiah 5. Let me give you a summation of what we're going to talk about here, the big idea, the thesis, if you will, of what we're talking about in this section. It's in this simple sentence. God is a God of justice. I'll say that again. God is a God of justice. In verses 1 through 5, Nehemiah is made aware of ruthlessness that is taking place. And remember, he's in the middle of a building project that has been, he have went through so many things to get it to this manifestation of which it is right here. In chapter 1, we find out that he is living the plush job as cupbearer. Now, it may seem like a weird job, but it was an important job. It was a formal position in the most powerful man of the day, King Artaxerxes' cabinet. The cupbearer did what it sounds like he did. He just held the cup, but he didn't just hold the cup. He drunk the wine before the king would drink the wine. Just in case anybody's trying to kill the king, Nehemiah would die first, and the king can live on. It's an awkward and a weird job, but it's a job that produced intimacy with the king, produced a sense of closeness with the king. The king wouldn't give just anybody this position. It had to be a level of trust, responsibility. And that's what Nehemiah was able to do. In that very subtlety of his position, it reminds us, even when working under ungodly regimes, we have to still be faithful to God. I didn't mess up what I said there. I'll say it down a little bit. Even when working under ungodly regimes, we still have to be faithful to God. Nehemiah seemingly works as if he's working for a king that's bigger than earthly king. And so he's there. He's living a good life. But some of his homeboys, his partners, come down from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah daps them up, give them a little hello. He say, shop, shop, you know. He said, what's going on? And everybody said, Nehemiah, man, you doing good, man. Nice road, nice home you're living in. And Nehemiah does not focus on himself. He says, how's the hometown?
The
news that he gets breaks his heart. The city is still in ruins. The gates are still destroyed. The walls are broken down. Ashes are still there from the overturn and the captivity of God's people. And Nehemiah's heart is broken. He begins to weep. He begins to fast, and he begins to pray.
Come on.
He prays. He confesses his sins before God. He confesses the sins of his generations before him. And then he asks God this simple request at the end of his prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1. He says, grant me favor in the sight of this man. He was the king. He was the most powerful man on the earth. But Nehemiah says he's just this man. And Nehemiah waits for the right opportunity to show up to the king's court with a long face. Now, this may not mean much. much to many, sister, because many of us show up to work with an attitude all the time. But with Nehemiah's job, you couldn't show up with a long face. You drunk the wine before the king. It looks shady if you come in with a sad face, and he draws the king attention. He takes a chance. He steps out the box. It could get him killed. Killing the king's joy could get you executed. But the king somehow understands and sees in Nehemiah that there's something deeper going on. Nehemiah, what's wrong, bro? I mean, you took your COVID test. You ain't sick. What's wrong? Nehemiah says, how could I not be sad? My city's in ruin. The king says, well, what you getting at? Nehemiah says, I would show like a little time off to go rebuild it. King says, well, how long you going to be gone? Nehemiah gives him the time, and the king says yes. And says, if a parent, when a child, when they're asking their parent for something, and it's so easy to get that first something, they says, let me follow this up with something else. Nehemiah gets the time off. He says, well, king, since you're such in a gracious move, can I get some wood? Can I get some letters to make sure if anybody tried to stop me on my way, like, where you going? I can show them the king's imprint on my letter. And and not only does the king give him letter and give him wood, he gives him soldiers.
Come on.
And Nehemiah makes his way back there. By chapter 3, he's measuring out the land. In chapter 4, the work is progressing.
Sure.
The people had a mind to work. They even have gotten over their discouragement that took place in verses 7 through 14. And the work is starting to resume again. But in chapter 5, something happens. There was a great outcry, verse number 1, of the people and of their, watch this, their wives. Against their, watch this, Jewish brothers.
Come on.
For there were those who said, with our sons and daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive. Don't miss this. The wall is progression, but Nehemiah learns that it is progressing at the expense of poor people.
Sure.
And Nehemiah ceases the work to address the citizens' complaints. Nehemiah here puts social justice over political success.
Come on.
The wall is going up. They're succeeding. They're more than halfway done. But when these the Mideastern times of that, for Nehemiah to add in their wives is really to suggest that it was the wives that was leading this complaint. And thank God for godly women who will not subject themselves to stereotypes and feel that they have to be in the background. And if you ever want to see a woman upset, mess with their family. It's like the women of Liberia and West Africa that stood up to Charles Taylor, a convicted warlord that was sending their husbands and sons to war for his blood diamonds and his inhumane government policies. These women committed to pray and force their husbands to, quote unquote, man up by refusing to be intimate with them until they did something.
All right.
In case you missed it, they took the sex away. All right. And even on one occasion began to undress when they felt the meetings for peace were not progressing among the male leaders. Their action would eventually lead to the first female president in this African country's history. And this is what happens in Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5 shows us we cannot sit in our cushioned seats and air-conditioned buildings with luxury cars parked outside, just leaving a plush house, using sanctified jargon while hurting people are sleeping under bridges. Nehemiah is made aware of the famine. And then there's also some financial issues that's going on here. Look at verses 3 and 4. There was also those who said, we have to mortgage our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of famine. And there are those who said, we have to borrow money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. There's not only a famine problem, but there is a financial problem. There's an inflation and supply and demand issue. And these economic issues are being ignored by an insensitive government. And where the government doesn't step in, Nehemiah, as the leader of the people of God, does step in. There's a famine problem with food. there's a financial problem with money, but also there's a family problem. In verse number 5, it says, now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, and our brothers and our children as their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. Mm. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it's not in our power to help it. For other men and women have our fields and vineyards. Don't miss what's going on here. They are in violation of Leviticus 25 and 39. They have made their own people slaves. They made them mortgage out their property, their valuables, just for they can sustain life. This is so critical. But what does Nehemiah do when he does it? How does he rectify this ruthlessness? In verse number 6, he has righteous rage. Some people tell us we ought not be angry, but there ought to be some things that make you angry. It says, Nehemiah testifies, I was very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. And then verse number 7 says, not only was he had righteous rage, but he had a righteous rebuke. He says, I took counsel with myself. We know Nehemiah's DNA at this point. Counsel with myself does not mean Nehemiah was trusting in himself. Counsel with himself means that Nehemiah went in his prayer closet. And whenever you're frustrated, you always want to take time to pray first. You don't want to make any moves while you're in your own self. And Nehemiah says, after I prayed, he says, I brought charges against the nobles and against the officials. He wasn't scared of the leaders. He said to them, you are exacting interest each from his brother. I held a great assembly against them. And I said to them, we, as far as we are able, have been brought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to the nations. But you now are selling the brothers that was once sold to others. Nehemiah says, why are you killing yourself now?
So
we just seen this in our in a wonderful state in the United States, where once again another famous rapper was killed, not by KKK, not by the apartheid regime, by our own kind. And Nehemiah says, I'm going to say something about this.
Yeah.
And then he says there needs to be righteous retribution for this. In verses 10 through 13, he doesn't just talk. Nehemiah says, y'all got to do something. So moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending money in their grain. Nehemiah says, I'm stepping out first. My cabinet ain't taking the checks, but they're giving it to hurting people. He says, let us abandon this exacting of interest. Stop charging your own people interest for the loans. Return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, their houses, and the percentage of the money grain, the wine, and the oil that you have been exacting from them. Nehemiah says, all y'all that took that stuff, give it back.
Yeah.
And they said, we will restore these and require nothing from them at all. Praise God for those who abide by the commands of Nehemiah. And of course they did. Remember, Nehemiah had some of the king's soldiers with him. And when they did so, Nehemiah says now, Nehemiah said, may God shake off every man from his house and from his labor who doesn't keep this promise. So may he be shaken out empty. And all assembly said, amen. And praise the Lord, and the people did as they promised. Don't miss that. The people praise God for social justice. That means if you can shout on getting your blessing, if you can shout on making it through, if you can shout on healing, you ought to be able to shout on social justice as well. The people said, amen, and praise God. And they did as they promised. What do we do when we're trying to help? But in the process of trying to help, a project, an initiative, others start to hurt, we step in. We step in and demand justice. We demand righteousness. This is why South Africa is in a more healthy state that it is as a country from a political standpoint, because men and women of God stood up for justice. This is why America is not in the same social ills, even though we still have things that we got to get right and fix. It's because men and women of God, not social movements, not political parties. It was the church and men and women of God that says we shall overcome. And we got to get back to that. We got to get back to that. People over projects.
Sure. Yeah, I tell you, I trust that even your pens are writing as fast as our pens here in the studio. You know, Lindy and I are taking so many notes, and I trust that there's a shift that is happening also in your hearts. There are shifts that is happening also in your mind, you know, about what is your role as a child of God, you know, when you see all the social ills where you are at. Are you going to focus on what you are doing? Are you going to focus on the project that you are engaged in over, you know, the demise of your own people? That's the question now that is on the table. So after this beautiful song, I can see Lindiwe is really fired up and she wants to say something. So, but let's go to an ad break. But let's just relax and let this word of God simmer a little bit and begin to ask those important questions that will bring about the necessary and the desired change that we need in our community where God has placed us in. After this song, we still have Reverend George E. Hurt from Mount Sinai in Los Angeles, United States of America. Stay tuned.
There's no better place for you to be than the Father's Love Show on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday where we are, I'm telling you, receiving the word from the Lord. I mean, people over projects. You know, as Pastor George was, you know, sharing the word, and I'm thinking that there are so many things that God brings in our heart that, what's this? This is word that I'm looking for, where God, you know, puts a desire in your heart. But when I've heard all Pastor George said, sometimes we want to see the project succeeding. We want to see what God has put in our hearts, you know, succeeding and all that. Now, you don't look or you ignore the needs of the people that are helping you to achieve that which God has, you know, given to you. So this is just a reminder for us that, you know what, as much as we are progressing on what God has given to us, the projects, the desires, and the purpose that God has given to us, but we must not neglect or, you know, progress or succeed at the expense of the people that God has given to you in order for you to accomplish that which He has set for you to do. So for me, it's a word really that makes me to think that, Lindiwe, in whatever that God has given to you right now, make sure that you don't destroy, you know, other people from getting to the relationship with God because of what you are doing right now. So it says to me, as I go up, I must not leave my people, you know, God's people or the people God has blessed me with behind. So as we go up, let us go together. So it's, for me, this is just the word that says I need to be conscious all the time in whatever that I'm doing, that I make sure that I don't kind of like take people away from God. But as we go together, as we grow together, as we journey together, let us do it together. Not that it's my thing alone. You guys are just help. No, no, no. As much as they're helping you, but we're in this thing together. So this is just for me a word that God is the God of justice. What more do we want?
So, I mean, you know, more so like a question of you lift as you go up, you know, lift as you go up. So you mustn't travel alone. I mean, even Jesus, before he could leave, I mean, he said, the works that you see me do, you will also do, and even far greater. Often than not, we focus on the project. He had a project coming here. He had a mission coming here. But his mission, it was not about him going to the cross and dying for our sins and setting us free, but leaving us where he found us at, and or not taking care. I mean, we can go on and on and look at what, I mean, his ministry, what Jesus has accomplished in terms of social justice. I mean, he couldn't leave people hungry. He couldn't leave people destitute. I mean, he was always about people. So it's so interesting, I mean, what Pastor George did here by revealing the fact that, you know, in chapter 4, it's very interesting that in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, Tobiah and Sanballat are attacking him. He doesn't focus on them. He continues with the project. But now in chapter 5, you know, if you look at these two contrasts, in chapter 5, these women are coming to raise this thing, which could look like a destruction,
mm-hmm.
you know, which could look yeah. like something that wants to delay the project.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, this one is different. This one was trying to stop the project, you know, from happening in chapter 4, Tobiah and Sanballat. Mm-hmm. But this other side, this woman is saying, no, in as much as we want to help, but there's these issues.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know what I like in all these incidences from the beginning, Nehemiah, you know, here's the situation. His homeboys are coming. The first thing that he does, he goes to the Lord.
He inquires of the Lord.
I want to believe it's God who said, you know what, the next time you appear before the king,
yeah.
have a long face.
Yeah.
Have
yeah.
a long face, and then yeah. you're going to be able to deal with it. Well, the scripture doesn't say, but you can always assume,
yeah.
you know, have a long face, because the Bible says he went and prayed.
Yes.
And then said, grant me favor with this man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, favor and long face. Probably the Lord said, okay, next time you go there, just do that, and yeah. then the favor will come. You know what I mean? I mean, also, when it comes to chapter 4 with Sanballat and Tobias, you know, it irritated him in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, he went and prayed again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave him how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Even in this instance, he went and prayed. He did not just, so Nehemiah did not just do anything. Because I think that's what Pastor George is revealing to us, that in as much as you see the needs of the people, in as much as you want to intervene, don't intervene in your own way. Lean not in your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Go still to God and say, Lord, how do I intervene? Because sometimes you may see people that are going through a lot, Pastor George, having whatever challenges that they have, and then you come up with food. They don't need food.
Yeah.
They need something else. Maybe they need shelter. So you need to know how to respond respond accurately and relevantly. And who better would know how to respond other than God?
Than God himself.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You all summarized what I was trying to say. Said it even better than I did. So I need to be over here taking my notes for next time that I present this. I'm not going to give y'all credit either. I'm going to say I was led to say this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the first time I'll give you credit. But after that, I can't go any further. After the second time, it's, you know, somebody said it.
Yeah, somebody said it. And then next time it's me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about this. As it relates to, again, ministry and pastoring, leading God's people, that sometimes we forget that the person that we're yelling at or expressing our frustrations with may not verbally be yelling at them, not being literal there, but that behind there is maybe a mother who is in pain. Maybe there is a son who is struggling with, you know, he's acting up in church. He's not doing what he's supposed to do with the sound system, media, the band. But there's maybe some other issues that he's wrestling with.
Sure.
Sometimes those are felt needs, like in this situation of family and famine and finances. But other times it's emotional.
Sure.
It's mental. It's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And so just talking to Scripture Union on yesterday and the things that they're doing in Langham, in that community, to go to schools and try to minister holistically. What a joy to have school systems that enable Christians to come in and be able to make that effort. And we need more of that sensitivity, more of that awareness that people are at different planks in life. And sometimes we have to cease things and listen to people. Nehemiah first listened above every, before he starts, you know, laying down the gavel and speaking and holding the assembly. He heard them.
Yeah.
So that means he was able to be reached.
Mm.
He wasn't so high
and
so many guards around him. So they were able to get to Nehemiah and says, listen. And they felt comfortable enough to be transparent and say what's going on.
Mm.
Now, how are we supposed to eat?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. This wall is great. This new children's center is great. We're not hating on that.
Yeah.
We're not saying this wall will not be done. But listen. There's stuff that's going on that's not right here.
Mm.
You know, our sons and daughters are being enslaved.
Mm.
We have to mortgage off our property.
Mm.
And Nehemiah, to the credit of those that were wrong, Nehemiah, when they are confronted, they give it back. And so at times we got to celebrate those people. We got to celebrate those who repent. We got to celebrate those who give retribution. Zacchaeus is a hero in Scripture, not because he was a tax collector manipulating people, because he was a tax collector manipulating people that met Jesus, repented, and gave people back fourfold what he had taken from them. And so a lot of times we got to celebrate even cruel leaders, sometimes even people who are racist before, but come back and say, a lot of times we're not willing. No, they didn't change. Well, if God can change us, he can change other people too.
Amen.
And so they go back and they give them and say, hey, meet me at the bank tomorrow. I'm going to sign the deeds back over to you, you know.
Yeah.
And come by my house tomorrow. I got some wine I took from you. I'm going to get that back to you. And the people celebrated that. The people celebrated that. They didn't just celebrate in Nehemiah 8, the word of God being read. They celebrated the fair treatment of people.
Amen. I tell you, if you don't sit back and reconsider, you know, most of the time we think, I don't know what we think Christianity is about. Sometimes people, when they get born again, they become aloof. People, when they get born again, they think they're better off than other people. Only to find that that's not what Jesus represented. You know, Jesus didn't like, I mean, the Bible tells us in Philippians that, you know, he considered it not. Let the same mind which is upon Christ Jesus be upon us. That he considered it not robbery to be equal to God, but yet he humbled himself, to become more like a slave. And God exalted him. Most of the time, we want people to celebrate us. We want people to exalt us, but at the expense of what? At the expense of God's people. So I think we need to sit down and reconsider, really, what is my role in society? Now that I'm being saved, now that I know better, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm doing?
You're right on the
path. As you hold that thought, let's go to a song. We'll come back with our final thoughts. Stay blessed. Yes, we're right back from this powerful and awesome song. Unfortunately, hey, Lindy, you know, when you have fun, time just flies away.
So fast.
You know, sometimes I wish I have the Joshua anointing just to stop the time and then until we finish. until we finish with everything.
This
sound
will be stopping, I don't know how many times a day, because everybody will be doing that.
No. Only for us. The Father's Love.
Oh, only for us. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah.
What's your final thoughts? Your final thoughts.
You know, as I was listening to the whole story of Nehemiah, it just reminded me. It's like Nehemiah, his role model was Jesus. Because what Jesus came to do, it was all about people. As the Bible says, he went about healing and, the sick and all that. So when you look at the story of Nehemiah, it's really like, okay, Jesus was his role model. And if Nehemiah could do that, what is stopping us from doing it as well?
And if he didn't know Jesus at the time.
Exactly. When we have the relationship, with our God, when we are in the new covenant. So let's make Jesus our role model in everything that we do. It's all about people. He died. He came for us so that we can have a relationship, with our Father. Jesus came for people. So whatever that we find ourselves to do, whatever that God has deposited in us, let us remember that at the end of the day,
it's about people
us all going. It's not about you going to heaven all by yourself. I mean, he says we must make disciples. It's all about people. For me, it's just a reminder of the word that I've received, that at the end of the day, it's all about people. As it says, it's people over projects. It's awesome.
Pastor George, your final words, sir.
Yeah, dear woman of God was speaking. It reminded me of something in this text that needs to be brought out as well. Caring for people didn't limit the project. It made it even more powerful. And oftentimes you will hear people say, well, if you do that, we know an American preacher that said that, and it sounds like a bigot statement, and it is a bigot statement. that, you know, social justice takes away from the gospel. No, social justice illuminates the gospel.
Yeah.
Social justice is at the heartbeat of the gospel, is what Jesus came for and towards when it comes to the Jewish people, who are this initial audience and crowd before he even unleashes his disciples to go out to all the world, is Jerusalem, Judea, or people that were being oppressed by Roman dictatorship and power. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for a different kind of liberation.
Mm.
But certainly there is a liberational component to it. I'm looking at Haggai when I get back Sunday morning at Mount Sinai, starting a Surprise by Grace series. Mm-hmm. And Haggai, who, and I want to call it Haggai, colon, harlot or hero.
Mm.
And God looks out for her, even though she's not the chosen one.
So,
what does that sound like? That sounds like salvation.
Yeah,
we're not salvation from the quote-unquote chosen line. Yeah. And even if we were, we don't deserve to be from anything that's chosen from human monarchy or dispensation from a tribe. Mm. But God still chose us for salvation.
Yeah,
and so it's at the heartbeat of the gospel. And that's and it did not. So, again, caring for people does not diminish the project. It actually makes it even more powerful.
Mm.
What better way to end it? I'm not going to spoil it. I just want those words to simmer in your heart right now.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you what, if you still want to listen in on this show, you still have a chance. Tune in tomorrow at 10 p.m. for a repeat. But more than that, go to our website, download the podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your loved ones, share it with your colleagues, share it with your pastor even, you know, and let's bring about change in people's lives using the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what we are called to. That's what we are called for. Same time, same place. Next Wednesday, we are still here. But let me tell you, thank God for COVID. Why I'm saying that? Because now we can connect anywhere in the world.
Mm.
We do not know that we can connect anywhere in the world.
Mm.
So don't be surprised next time we go live. Pastor George is with us, broadcasting directly from the United States, Los Angeles, Mount Sinai offices, or Mount Sinai pulpit.
Yeah.
Right here on Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. on the Father's Love. We're making it happen.
We always do.
Let's go.
What we are known for.
Yeah, let's go. We're going home. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.